Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams. Cheers. We're in the Z Shed. It's a Friday happy hour, a fantastic way to finish the week here on Charlotte Soccer Show. It's great to see you, Danny. Welcome to the Z Shed.
Johnny, welcome back to another episode of Charlotte Soccer Show. Been a couple weeks. We did our sort of last final game reacts episode. And we've been kind of sitting quiet, sitting lying in wait. Maybe people thought we were gone. Maybe people thought it was done. But this show is not done. This show has a lot left to go. And we decided it could not be a more old school episode. We're audio only, speaking into a microphone here in the Z Shed.
Yep.
Drinking amber ales. Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's a beautiful thing. It's wintertime.
To all the listeners, to the TIFOs. I thought that I was over it on the last episode. We titled the episode that we're finally over it. I actually don't think I really was at that time.
No, the title of the episode was "We're Still Not Over It," and you are still not over it. I love it. It's great. Yeah. We pretended to be maybe when we were taping it.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. That's probably the way to say it. I don't know where I land on that, but one thing I'm not over is the fact that Joe LeBou is no longer Charlotte FC's president. That Patrick Angermang has yet to be paid and sign a new deal, a long-term contract here at Charlotte FC to lead the line. I'm going to get your thoughts on that.
And our homegrown is gone. Our honorary homegrown is out. Contract option declined for Jalen Lindsay. I mean, if we're just getting all the lumps of coal in the stocking out here early, I had to throw that out there.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Changes at TSE, Danny. It's a new year that's coming and a new organization moving forward. It's something that maybe people feel concerned about. Do you feel concerned about the changes?
I mean, concerned? More like panicked and desperate. I mean, what the hell? Like, I can't honestly believe what the TSE Tepper Sports Entertainment restructure has meant for one of my very favorite members of the crown, you know, bearers of the crown. When it comes to Charlotte FC, you got the players, and then, you know, we're lucky enough that we've been able to build some relationships with the people behind the scenes that work in the building at HQ over there at Atrium Health Performance Park, which, you know, I guess, you know, overseeing the construction and implementation of a world-class training facility that even the Real Madrid guys were like blown away by. I guess that doesn't get you much credit inside your organization anymore these days, unfortunately. But TSE did a restructure that created a new CEO and then did a little, I'm going to call this the Grinch shuffle because, you know, we're going to keep the holiday theme going, but a little ziggity-zag mix and match, you know, pick a thing up over here and kick a thing out over there. Yeah. They eliminate the position of club president occupied for the last few years since the opening, since the inaugural. He wasn't the first person to ever hold the job. And I'll drink to that.
Yes, I will. Yeah.
But he has been the president of this club since the inaugural season. I'm talking about Joe LeBou. And, you know, 3 years of pretty good stewardship, in my opinion. A guy who sold the love of soccer, who actively engaged with fans on social media, and he was never one of those guys that's like MLS club president, you know, picks a fight with fans on social media. No, he was always positive. He was always out there repping the club in the best possible light. I mean, the guy's he's a father of youth hockey players. So, you know, he's not always in a good mood, but if you ever watched his social media profile, you would think this guy's the most positive guy ever. And, no longer the club president. Your position has been eliminated. How many of us have sadly had that message delivered to us in recent years? But they eliminate president and they create a job called chief business officer and they hire someone else to that job. So I don't know, corporate structure rearranged, corporate reorg. And all of a sudden, Joe LeBou is now a consultant for the club. What does that mean to you, Johnny? You know, you're always asking me questions. Let me throw a question to you. What does transition into a consultant role mean to you?
I think it begs the question: What is the club's identity now? Because Joe LeBou was maybe that. He was the person that had outreach and had touch points with the fan base and with mm-hmm. the actual supporters, a guy that sold a lot of the tickets, like, what is the club's identity now?
Right.
And
3 years in is where things need to be defined. We saw that with Atlanta United.
And I think the club's direction is in a really good one. You outlined all the things that the organization and the front office did well.
Oh, by the way, the team got better on the field every single year also. Yeah.
Yeah, so a surprise for sure and concerning, yes. And I don't know what's going to happen next, but I wonder what that club identity is, and I would wonder what the TIFOs think about that as well. I mean, for me, right. I feel like the club identity now is I think about one guy. it's Zoran Krenata. I think it's Zoran.
Okay,
it's Zoran. The club's identity is now.
Yeah, I mean, Zoran. He's built the team, and every other person from the top leadership brass. Chief Scout Thomas Scaling also leaving the club in recent moves. That maybe more of his choice because he is going back to his homeland to work for a top club, so I can't hate on that move at all. He was a cool guy that we always wanted to bring on the show.
The Teppers are definitely getting a Christmas card from the Krenatas this season.
I've met both Krenatas. I have not met either Tepper, so, you know.
Zoran's
I hope that my... tangential acquaintances, Zoran and family, have sent the card.
Zoran is I think maybe the guy that represents the club. But it's an interesting question, I think. And without the president gone now, and then the owner, I think you wouldn't say that David Tepper represents the club because, he's the owner, but he's pretty much focused with the Panthers. He's focused with getting music at the stadium and doing business. I think Charlotte FC is something. That's why he's going to hire a chief business officer, because he doesn't want to have to worry about it.
Well, it's again, take the individual personalities and relationships out of it, and even a neutral party would say it's out with the soccer people, in with the money people, and let's try to continue to maximize this Charlotte FC as an asset.
It was Carol Rogers, somebody that we respect, that suggested that it was the lag in ticket sales and the season renewal. That's the reason why Joe got.
Well, everybody knows me. I'm a vibes guy. I don't have this information.
They gave him the role as consultant. You know, it's a soft landing.
Sure, sure. It's 100% a soft landing, and hopefully he'll be consulting because he has a lot of. He's the soccer guy. He's the guy that has worked in sports his whole career because he loves sports, and you know he's been good at ticket sales. And like, I don't know the numbers. I know that. It was a big public mission from like all the team's communications, like tell your friends, come to the party, let's make this as big as possible. But did you get what vibes did you get from attendance of games that you would go to 2022 versus 2024? I mean, again, I don't want to be totally cheerleading. We can be somewhat try to be objective as well. Like I sensed declining attendance, but I thought that was kind of natural. I don't know what the projections were for next year. I know a lot of people complained about ticket prices going up, and those complaints are not invalid. To me, I still think the prices were fair enough. That price was not my decision, and like my decision to renew for 2025, but it was what is this club identity, as we are talking about, and I felt confident enough in the identity that I renewed.
As did I, and we did that, but the identity to me is it's up in the air. We'll see what happens. I think it's Zoran.
We trusted something that's completely up in the air and decided to renew. Yeah.
Like seriously though, like what is the identity is just.
Well, it's.
Yeah, it's.
I think the identity is Dean. I would say that. That, like, if we're going to hang our hat on anything, Dino's the identity in terms of the organization. And it's so funny. I've told the story a billion times. I always bring it up.
Dean's going to need to get paid. Like, and maybe that's why they've got the business office.
Maybe. I don't know. I just think like Dean's style of play and his ability to sort of like put a stamp on the on-field product as a English manager that, you know, other managers in this league do it. Not all of them, though. That's the thing. It's not like it's something inventing some new way of managing for MLS, but it's just you don't always get this kind of quality of managing in MLS, I don't think. Not for every club.
No, he's one of the best
and we are one of those clubs.
Yeah, he's one of the best managers in MLS. Easily. But I think at the top, I think there's it's not as top heavy as you as people would imagine. It's like eight guys that are really good managers in MLS.
Yeah,
I think Dean's part of that group.
And shout out, I guess we should just say shout out to LA Galaxy for winning MLS Cup in the interim of our two most recent episodes. And
without Ricky Puig.
Yeah, well, you always kind of knew that they were the favorite, you know, against Seattle. So like, the upsets in the playoffs were insane.
It's hard for me to be into the playoffs after the way Charlotte's season ended. I just like was pissed off at the league at that point because of some decisions that were made. So I just kind of shut it down, tuned it out.
Yeah, well, and also, who is the genius that decided to put the MLS Cup final up against the SEC championship game between Georgia and Texas, see who would get a bye in the college football playoff? Yeah. I wonder if that led to any issues with viewership and interest, but. I don't know. It's not like you have the entire weekend to find a better time. Who knows?
Yeah, that was rough. That was.
I said Seattle, by the way, earlier. I meant Red Bull. Sorry. Fuck the Red Bull.
Yeah, I didn't mention them.
They did play Seattle in the Western Conference Final. You can't have two West teams in MLS Cup Final. Anyway, to get back to the original discussion, yes, Dean is. And I was just shouting out LA Galaxy for. They're one of the better managed teams. Dino is one of the best in MLS, though. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Sorry for the tangent.
In Dino, we trust them. Zorn and Dino got to kind of work together. They can't just do it individually. I think that's a call out right now, right? Maybe the club identity is these two guys working together. I mean, Zorn needs to get these deals done. We need to get players in during the January window. Enough of the honeymoon phase is over. Jalen Lindsay's cut. Joe LeBoux's gone. This club is clearly trending in a direction where they're ready to flip. Certain assets, and so I think it's time to go. I think it's time to pay Patrick Aujamon. I think it's time to let some older players maybe walk, maybe cut some guys, maybe sell some people for Gam or Tam or thank you, wham bam, you know?
exactly. You know? Well, yes. Houndy Jop, I'd check me on this one. I'm not even going to look it up, but I think we traded up to get him in the MLS Super Draft. Like a year ago, and we left him exposed, and he was picked up by San Diego, so he's gone.
Yes,
and we'd loaned him out to side in Serbia, right?
Ben Bender, let's just sell him, get some cash.
Yeah,
let him like Ben Bender. Let's sell him and get some cash.
You ready to punt on Bender?
Yeah, like if they're gonna be ruthless like that, then then be ruthless and turn the roster over. But if not,
well, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Like you said, the. We don't need to do an entire section on pocket watching, but you know, when you look at when you think about contributions, even correcting for injury, Aujamon is severely underpaid compared to a Bender and a few other guys.
What about Jamie Patterson? Is he coming back, or what's the news on the
Pato
that came? That came and had a short stint here with the Crown.
Again, yeah. We'll leave the numbers out of it so we're not pocket watching too close, as I said. But MLSplayers.org is a great place. If you search salary dump, you can go look up these numbers for yourself. Suffice it to say that Patterson is way high on the list when you put it in order of largest to smallest salaries, and Patrick Aujamon's at the very bottom. So there's, you know, it's a certain point. And then, you know, on the club's YouTube, just this week they put out money walk and talk with Patrick Aujamon. It's like the fact that maybe he did that just to troll, like maybe they tried to troll him and he was like, fuck you guys, I'm gonna troll you back and just you know, and I don't understand why.
And then we got trolled.
Yeah, it's so funny that he's forced to do this sort of like sponsored segment, which I like the sponsored segment. I just think it's like to do it with Aujamon, it's like, what are we doing?
You can pick somebody else.
Yes, it's like a storyline of the club that this guy's like criminally underpaid, so yeah.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams. Good to be back on the show, and it's good to be here for the TIFOs during the holiday season. It's great to have you here at the house, Danny. We've really got to the point on the MLS calendar that you start thinking ahead to next year. That's why I love this sport, right? When you really think about it, you're 2 months away from camp, and the season will start in early March. Which is, I think, a feature, not a bug, about this league. I think that this league gets a lot wrong, I think what the one thing right that it gets is they just keep on playing.
Yeah.
And so there's
I hope they never change the calendar. They're talking about going to match the European. It'd be good for transfer windows maybe, but like there's some like MLS is a summer league to me for, and that's a compliment, not a slam. Yeah. Right now I want to know who the schedule, what the schedule looks like and who we're playing for next year, but that's a week and a half, two weeks away. They usually do it at the end of December. So
we don't know the kit situation, but we know that Miami's kits are available for sale before
really
Christmas.
Did you pick one up? Did you get a messy 10 for Finn to wear in dog size for Finn to wear around the house? No.
The question for me is, like, what is this? This league still wants to be so unserious that you it's so hard to take it seriously.
Well, if I here's one thing I'll say. Are these kits good? Let me look them up. I did not know about this. Miami 2025 kit? So, here's the deal. My daughter doesn't care shit about soccer. Good God knows not MLS. If she did care about soccer at all, she'd be watching freaking UEFA shit. But she wanted a pink Miami, Inter Miami jersey like in last year in 2023, the first year of Messi. I thought they're... 2024 jerseys were awful. I don't. I'm sure sales were just as good, but I think they lost kind of their status as a fashion icon. Are they going to claim it back with this 2025?
I mean, they can try. I mean, that's what all these people do, right? They just continue to try to make money as in the easiest ways possible. And it's like, okay, let's just get Miami's kit out there for sale in 2025.
I don't like it. I do know the Fortitude jersey. Wow, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. This looks... I think this is like the cheapest option at your local men's five-a-side, seven-a-side league. If you go to the sporting goods shop...
It's a beautiful sky.
We need some customs, and then you just go, how about black and gray? I don't know. Nothing special to me. I do know, you know, Joe Labou's influence will be felt into 2025 besides his consulting role in... The fact that he oversaw the process for the Charlotte FC 2025 kit, so we should see what that looks like.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what that looks like. Yeah. I can't wait to see what that looks like.
Is it the end of the Crown Jewels? I don't know the exact schedule, but just logic would dictate to us that Crown Jewels are now gone and probably good riddance. We should do a whole episode of good riddance to Crown Jewels later this winter.
So we know that we've got a
Explorer.
The Explorer kit.
I'm wearing my Carolina Explorer signed by Ashley Westwood now.
Yours looks good.
Yeah.
Looks good. And we got the Explorer kit. And it's a white kit, blue on the back. And to me, that means that the other kit next year probably might be a little darker.
Yeah.
They picked purple. Maybe it's like a lighter purple.
How about a mint? Until Austin FC do screw themselves a mint jersey with some maybe black trim, not the exact opposite of the original black mint kits, but just like some type of like sleek mint kit.
Or let's just go back to black.
Look, Amy Winehouse style, baby. Let's do it. You know why not?
Yeah, man. Let's just go back to black.
And I go back to black.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams. We're going to have a discussion about a couple things. Carol Swiderski. I just want to talk about Carol and figure out what his future
is. How many times can I flip-flop within that conversation?
Yes. Yeah. It's interesting. And then, there's some Premier League talk, too. I want to get your thoughts on some Prem as we head into the festive fixture season. Would you back Pep Guardiola or Slot down the stretch?
Arteta. I mean, it's not even a question. What are you talking about?
That's next. Charlotte Soccer Show back after this. All right, we're back. Cheers. New beers. This campfire.
Ooh.
I mean, this hot fly... Red Crystal Malt is absolutely delicious. It's a rye, and it's got this taste that is marbly. It's caramely.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good way to describe it?
Caramely with a just the right amount of sort of like frothy head. Like, yeah. It's not serious, but it just kind of sits a yeah. little bit more than your average bar beer, really. Like, and just kind of like lingers on the lips a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I think you made a good call out where it's not quite a Guinness as far as taste, but it's nearly there.
It's the same. It's a similar drinking experience of a Guinness, but with an amber.
Yeah,
that's what I'd say. And you know how I know that this is honest analysis of these beers, John?
What?
Because we are not being paid to say that.
We have been in the past, but we are no longer paid to say that Hotfly beer is indeed good.
Yes.
And if you go to Hotfly before Charlotte FC matches, it will indeed improve your evening.
Yes, you'll have a great match day experience.
It's kind of at this point...
Your great match day experience starts at Hotfly. It's a true story.
Yeah, I think... And that's part of why we love the club. We talk about the club because... It's always turned that area into like a really fun place to be before a match, and mm-hmm. and that will continue.
Yeah, I mean, we used to pre-party in Elizabeth in the first year, and that was fun, and you ride the train in, and that was always a good experience. But just like a couple years in, a little more veteran fan of a full-time soccer club, you're like,
yeah, get
I want to get a little closer. Exactly. I want to get a little closer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the club identity is something that,
yeah.
you know, we talked about.
That's part of it. That we spent the whole first segment sort of musing on. You know, the match day experience is part of it, too.
It is.
And I know why this is on your mind, Johnny. First off, it's the holiday season.
Yeah.
It's the end of the year. You're ruminating, and you're thinking about, you know, if whatever small percentage of my identity is tied up in being, you know, a big fan of Charlotte FC, my local hometown
yeah.
football club, you know, what does that mean about that small part of me, you know? So it's a really season of thinking about things
yeah,
and
sure.
Club identity.
Season.
Yeah.
It's the off season.
Club identity. And we know this. We also know this because in a group text, our friend of the show, frenemy of the show, as I always call him, Matt Geslin, was like, this, you guys is, you know, he's a troll. And he says, your guys' club has no identity. And we're both like, no, it's got kind yeah. of identity. He's like, what is it? And we're like, think about it and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
shout out to Gessler for a yeah. little inspiration.
Well, and I'm encouraged because the idea of Dean Smith and his leadership being like the top quality of our club is a good thing. The fact that Zoran Kaneta does have connections, that he can sign players. He has shown that he can sign players, right? So maybe he'll sign some more players. He's got a hit on somebody here soon that's an absolute superstar. You know, he tried with Abada, and well, I don't think it's quite there.
I mean, Leo, here's the thing about Leo Abada that I have to say, though. Let me double check so I don't say the wrong thing. But he just got married.
Congratulations.
A, he just got married. I can say that without looking it up.
Good for him.
B, just checking his birthday real quick. 23 years old still. I mean,
yeah.
Guy that really did
yeah.
make an impact on the field, if not necessarily become an identity type player.
Mobile.
But, I mean, he's 23. Like this guy... What if he comes out and becomes like Denny Bwanga on the wing next year and just like contributes to freaking goal after goal after goal every game? You know, I wouldn't rule it out because he's got a bright future. He's obviously clearly different like player than Bwanga. I'm just saying, like,
he's somebody though that I think
creating from the wing
is going to benefit from an offseason in Dean Smith's system,
mm-hmm.
coming back into camp, being prepped, ready to go to play
right.
that position.
Because he had some assists. Remember the assist to Carroll yeah. in the decisive yeah. game against Orlando.
Yeah,
like that was a really nice counterattacking goal from yeah. both attackers together working in tandem, and it was, you know, sometimes when you talk about two players connecting for a goal, it's like bing boom, but that was actually like Carroll like creating this turnover in midfield or benefiting from the turnover in midfield. He didn't necessarily create it, but like beating the center back on a deep counter,
yep.
spotting Liel, knowing what he had to do for support, sending it out to the wing at the perfect time, and then getting it back and scoring a freaking open netter, essentially. It's like Abada played a big part in that.
Man.
And whether Carroll's here or not, I'm really glad Abada is, for sure.
He can play on the break,
yeah.
and he's somebody whose pace always
right.
Can work in this league. It's just a matter of how much of a dog does he have in him as far as scoring goals, because
wow.
if he wants to go and be a poacher of goals, he could maybe his value could absolutely skyrocket. But we said we were going to talk about Karol Swiderski, and I think that's key, Because we already talked about Patrick Aujmon. We think that he's the clear number nine for me for this club.
He was starting the most critical games at the end of the year.
Yeah.
The do or die is Patrick.
And he started most of the year, too. Yeah. And Carroll just came back from loan.
Yeah.
So when you go into the next year, I just assume that Aujmon is the guy.
At some point, when it was back was completely against the wall, Dino said, fuck, put Aujmon out there. There's reason. Each guy has reasons to be played. And when you ask a manager, do or die, he's going to side with the football reasons, not the business reasons.
Especially in Dean Smith's system now, for sure. I think there's a way that they can both play together, but that's up to Carroll.
And that's up to Dean also, though, because Dean has seemed hesitant to do it. That's something Dean doesn't seem that interested in.
Yeah, but Carroll, I think his skill set translates to midfield. And as Carroll gets older, I think that could be like an ulterior motive.
He does just want to hold on
to Carroll as long as possible to where he can just be that Carlos Gil kind of player.
Yeah, yeah.
That just like...
He's like, F it.
Yeah, I'll just like...
I'll play midfielder. Yeah. Fucking...
That would be my... I think that's the best case scenario with Swiderski. What if Swiderski ends up being like a 5-6 year Charlotte FC player, but being like this kind of in and out the door kind of player? That would be hilarious to have a player like that.
If that happens, he's gonna have a really nice house out by Lake Norman. 10 years.
That's true. He will.
Yeah, he will.
Because I think there's a chance that he has a because no one's gonna sign him here in this January window. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Are you throwing down the gauntlet on that? Because that's a big statement.
I'm not throwing down the gauntlet, but I'm just, I just don't think there's anybody going to come calling for what Charlotte FC wants. I bet Charlotte FC wants at least $10 million for him, and there's no chance that somebody's coming in for $10 million.
Like you could sell him, like if they thought like nine today is worth, you know, 7.5. You know, with, from 2021-22 dollars. So, gotta get 10. Yeah, gotta get 10. Yeah. So it looks like not a loss on the books. Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think he gets sold. I think he comes back, and I think he's somebody that can kick and play, and he can play in a way that's hopefully good for him and good for Charlotte FC. But I think him and Aujmon leading the line is a good thing, and having depth is a good thing.
Carroll scored the go-ahead goal in a playoff match 3. Yeah,
we won him.
Like, on the team. I prefer it on the team. Yeah. It should have been the match-winning goal that sent us to host another round. Of course. Yeah, Carroll's great. And I like what you say about playing them together just because I think they both deserve the minutes.
Yeah.
And I hate that it's a binary choice between Carroll and Patrick. Yeah. It shouldn't be. You know?
Yeah,
it
should not be. That's the beauty of soccer.
Because those are two of your best players.
Exactly.
And they should both be on the pitch in one shape or form or another, for sure. 100%.
Yeah, and I think that like maybe shows like the lack of depth in MLS, because I think in another club, Swiderski would play right wing, left wing, number 10. And he would flourish in all three positions. And I think...
Right. If you needed to rest Aujmon for a different striker, or Carroll plays the striker when Aji rests, but when Aji's, you know, fit and starting, then Carroll's on the wing, and then, you know, if you know, God forbid, our number 10, Bronico, needs to sit for a game, Carroll could play the 10.
Yeah, exactly. That 4-4-2, we got to think about that 4-4-2.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you say it's... What does it say about the lack of depth in MLS, which I agree, but... What does it say about Dean flexibility and decision making, and like willing to adapt? Because we always say in any sport, this is not soccer, football, basketball, whatever. The best coaches adapt their style to the talent, not try to force the talent into style. And at some point, these guys are just not. If you have to choose, if Patrick and Carroll have to share the number 9 spot, you're not maximizing the best talent and quality on your team. And that's something I can criticize Dean for as someone who has done nothing but sing the praises of Dean since he got here. I have to, in some objective form, be like, dude, you can't figure out a way for them to share the field together. I'm a little bit skeptical of that.
I am too skeptical of the fact that it's one of those things, Danny, where if you want to share the field, right? It's like it goes back to what's the identity of the club, you know, like. It's like, you know, it's like...
Especially because Vargas is working as a super sub all of a sudden.
We're good up front.
Yeah.
We're good up front, but for some reason, we have no clue how to play together.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's like, it's just so wide mm-hmm. and individual that there's no togetherness in the front
or
the field.
If I can make an extremely hyperbolic comparison, we are both of you and I unfortunate enough to be friends with a good-sized number of Liverpool fans. And when you are watching a game with our buddies that are all Liverpool fans, or if you're just watching a game at home as a neutral, and Liverpool starts a counterattack, you're like, okay, let's go. You, like, sit up on the edge of your seat. When Charlotte FC starts a counterattack, it's like, I wonder how they're going to fuck this up.
Yeah.
You know, like, and thank God, again, I'll keep the most recent game. Orlando looked like the final form of Charlotte FC, and it looked, we should have won that game. It was absolute bullshit on the part of Jibril Diagne, who made the biggest mistake, probably the biggest boneheaded play of the 2024 MLS season, if you ask me. Maybe I'm a little biased, but that is literally the dumbest fucking thing that anyone has ever done. Sorry, Jibril, but like, Carroll and Abada on a Charlotte FC counterattack fucking were clinical and did the thing, and that's where Dean got us to by the very end of the year. So, I mean, I trust the guy. Just, you know, like, I want to see Patty and Carroll on there together.
It'll be interesting. And speaking of Liverpool, Liverpool's a team that and a club that is just absolutely flying. A win this week in Champions League. They haven't lost in Champions League. And they're atop the Premier League by a pretty sizable margin right now. It's been a crazy and an unbelievably successful start to the year for Slot. And Liverpool and Mo Salah and Virgil van Dijk. I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Like, Liverpool looks really, really good, and Chelsea's right behind, which is crazy.
Chelsea's Manchester back. City. I can't believe it.
Yeah,
I was enjoying the last few years where Chelsea was really bad, and it sucks that they're back for sure.
When you have 35 players,
next thing you're going to tell me, Man United is going to come back, and then I'm going
to
be.
Here's the thing that I don't think maybe I've heard yet that I'm willing to theorize on. That Chelsea's strategy of signing 35 guys,
right? Eventually,
paying all those guys and getting them in the club.
Yeah, it's a numbers
actually
game.
Worked.
Yeah, it's a numbers game.
Look at it now. You get the right manager in there. You kind of strike a chord with a group of guys, and they play well together.
I mean, that's the Dean Smith model. You know, that's kind of what he did here in Charlotte for sure. But 31 points through 15 is pretty nice for Chelsea. I mean, Liverpool has a chance to go 7 points clear when they catch up in games in hand. They're leading. Imagine leading the league by 4 in December with a game in hand. That's insane.
So what about your Arsenal? What about Set Piece FC?
Set Piece FC is balling. Bukayo Saka, the best player in the league, the best player in the world. If Odegaard hadn't been hurt so bad, it would be a lot more interesting for sure. You know, 5 draws, most among the top 6. Just draws not turning into wins has been brutal for Arsenal, sitting on 29 points, 6 points back with potentially becoming 9.
Those draws might actually help Arsenal in the long run.
I hope so. I mean, the thing is, it's, if you're a Premier League fan, you know, like, all this stuff before Christmas is a little bit...
What's your stacking points?
Mirage.
Trying to stack points.
Yeah, yes. I mean, Liverpool's on a record pace right now, but eventually some new manager, is Slot really that good? I mean, I don't know. Maybe, Salah pulls a hammy or something like that. I don't know. Did I have to? I mean, if I threw that out there, you know, if I had to say
things like that happen.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. But the Premier League is, it's fantastic. I think Tottenham is like 11th place right now, which is...
You're right there.
Maybe close.
Yeah. Would you rather be 11th place or in the Conference League? That's the real question. 11th.
Yes. Yeah, 11th. For sure. Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's like, don't give me those Thursday games.
Yeah. I don't need them.
Lithuania. I don't want to go to Budapest.
Right. I can't ever watch them anyway because I'm at work and I fucking hate seeing the tired team on Saturday, Sundays for sure. Yeah.
Well, I think Tottenham just went to Budapest to see Galatasaray. Play at Galatasaray in Europa League. So these Thursday, Sunday, if you're going to play football on Thursdays, Like Arsenal won Europa League 4 years ago.
Europa is great. Yeah, Europa's worth it.
But Conference League Thursday. Yeah.
You stay on this side of the Iron Curtain in Europa League, you know. Like, but hey, speaking of, I'm planning a trip to Budapest later in 2025.
That's fantastic.
I can't wait to get there. Yeah, you know, maybe I'll see Galatasaray myself. It'll be in early season of next soccer season.
I would wager that Liverpool wins the league, but I don't think it's going to be easy. Like, I don't think it's going to be a runaway the entire season. I think that they're always going to be within like two games. It's never going to be a lot more than, you know.
I mean, drop me some points, you mother effers. Like, I mean, these guys just, they don't drop points. They can't be beat right now. But here's they got to play Fulham, Sutton, Tottenham.
Yeah. That's a big game at Tottenham.
And Leicester. They're at Tottenham on December 22nd. Yeah, they could give us all of, like, imagine Spurs giving Arsenal and Chelsea a Christmas gift.
I think that's the biggest game, one of the biggest games of the season for Liverpool. If Liverpool can go and beat Spurs there, because Tottenham is going to be doing their stupid thing where they just try to go, and, you know, it's going to be an open wild match, and if you can't have the quality to score, you. So I could easily be 3-0 Liverpool, 5-1 Liverpool, but it also could be 4-4. It could be 5-4. It could be 4-3.
You know, what do you know about a 4-3 recently over there in Spurs land? But Liverpool hosting Leicester on Boxing Day, so it could be a look ahead for sure. And you know, they might overlook Spurs, you know, with the Foxes coming home.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, trust me, any. London and North, South, East, or West London at this point, you're cheering for Tottenham on December 22nd for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty fun to be that. I looked at that recently, and I was like, oh, that's sweet. Tottenham is going to be like every club in the league is going to be rooting for Tottenham 100% this week.
100%, yeah, exactly. Maybe Kris Kringle's got something up his sleeve there, if not Daylan Kulikevsky or whatever his name is. I don't know, man. I just don't see. I don't see where the tough matches even start for Liverpool, and that's just a sign of how like impressive they look when I look at their name on a sheet here. How about May 10th? Arsenal at Anfield with two games left to play.
I mean,
can we get there?
If you're following,
can we get there?
And we're talking about the Premier League in such a great way because it's like, hey, this is a campaign.
Yeah.
You know, and there's big matches along the way. Yeah. There's little battles that you expect to win. And then there's big, big, you know, these wars on the road against really tough opponents that you got to single out and say the championship revolves around this.
I'll tell you this, it's a crowded fixture list for Liverpool in January, if we want to talk about a campaign. I mean, they got a Champs League game in there. They got two Champs League games in there, an FA Cup match. They got a host Man United in a, you know, classic rivalry. So, I mean, they've got, I mean, every club has these matches. This is the fixture congestion that we all deal with. But, like, maybe Liverpool's the one that feels that near the top amongst the contenders more than others. I don't know. Arsenal has had all their injury problems. They've missed the most games to injury. Not the most, but in the top quartile of game, most games missed by injured players in the last couple of years. I saw a graph on that recently. But soccer's amazing, dude. If you just love soccer, just go watch Bukayo Saka play, dude. It's like I can sit here and look at tables all day and talk about those.
Yeah, he's a finisher.
Game of joy, and like if you want joy, then watch Bukayo Saka in any situation. He's a finisher and a creator.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
He's amazing.
Yeah, exactly right.
And he's one of our own. he's one of our own. We love Saka, dude. I mean, he's an academy kid. Then if like this is a kid we've watched on TV since he was like 15, 16, 17 years old, and like as steeped in the culture of Arsenal as anyone could be. This is our Nymphosa Burkimus, you know, in what we could only hope could make a similar impact. I'm not saying skill level, I'm just saying similar impact.
Yeah.
And we're like awesome to see just a guy who's just has been leading a club, been leading a Premier League club since he was 18 years old. When I was 18 years old, I was moving out of my mom's house into my own apartment so that I could throw parties at senior
year
of high school.
Yeah, this guy was just like peak condition. Peak condition. Yeah. He was in great. Like, he's just like absolute peak. And he remains peak. He's always been peak. That's the point. You know, it's like when everybody's here, Saka's been here.
Yeah.
And the superstars have trajectory like that. Yeah. That's why he starts for England. I always have respect for England internationals, man. It doesn't matter to me if you can start and play for England. So I'm a huge fan of players that can get into that lineup. And
imagine if we had a professional level national gridiron football team, and it was, you only had a certain starting 11 on offense and defense, and they went and were playing in international tournaments. Like, other countries don't really have that game developed enough for that to be a reality. But imagine if that was the case, and the competition to be on those spots for the American football team. You know,
speaking of that, it's on a smaller level. But Tottenham at Rangers in Europa League this week was the first time a British team went and played in Scotland since 2022. It's been a couple years, and it's been a long time. It was like almost 20 years since Rangers beat a English team at home, and Tottenham just got a goal at the end in the second half
from Dejan
Kulishevsky to make sure that that the Scottish didn't get the win over the Brits. It was crazy because at the match you saw a bunch of British flags and Scottish flags in there. It's just one of those cool rivalries that you don't think about across the board. It was a special, unique fixture.
Shout out to Englishman Dominic Solanke for the assist on that goal. And shout out to The Diplomat. Great show on Netflix if you haven't watched it, with my girl Carrie Russell. That is all about a vast international conspiracy that ultimately centers on Scotland taking a vote of independence away from the United Kingdom, which hasn't happened in real life, but they imagine that happening.
They still imagine a million other things
flow out of that. It's a great show. And
based on the conversation I've had with the Scottish, Russell killed it. They still want independence.
Yeah, it's a great plot instigator for a conspiracy that eventually involves United States, Russia, Iran, everyone. Imagine the whole world going to war over Scottish independence. That's basically what this show is. But my girl Carrie Russell prevents it because she's brilliant.
Well, it was a late goal in the second half, a salvage job for a point for Spurs in the Europa League. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, Danny Brandon. It just goes to show there's so much soccer that you can keep an eye on.
I just noticed Kulu was a halftime sub in for Timo Werner. I had seen Postecoglou's comments on Tino. Where are you at as a Tottenham fan in the Ange experience overall? And do you think it's right for him to throw Timo under the bus and say this guy sucks, that's why I subbed him out? It ended up paying off, obviously. So Ange is pulling strings to get that draw, that all important Europa League draw. But I know that it's an up and down roller coaster ride with Ange at the helm of your club. How do you feel?
Well, I was very lucky because I knew and I saw those Ange comments before I watched the match.
Okay.
So I got to like watch the first half, and knowing that Ange just like totally like ripped Werner to the shreds afterwards. And my reaction was like, well, like Timo wasn't actually that bad. He got a 6.3 rating on SofaScore, which isn't great.
When you only play a half,
but the crosses, he had two crosses into the box. There was just like one bad thing he did. Either way, I had the ability to watch it after I saw those, and I think Ange was looking for a scapegoat. I think he was looking for somebody to blame. That was easy because Timo's on loan.
Yeah,
he can get out of there.
Former Chelsea man,
exactly. And he's on loan back from Germany, from Leipzig, where he went. After he failed in the Premier League and went back to Germany, Spurs were like, "Yeah, let's give him another go." And it's like, "Nope, it's not working out."
Well.
So he was certainly an easy target for Ange, but I thought it was like pretty harsh, no doubt about it. Like at this point, if I'm Timo, I'm like, "Fuck you, dude! I'm pretty pissed."
Well, I went and saw a Gladiator 2 the other day, and one of the previews was for a Robbie Williams biopic where he is portrayed by a CGI orangutan, or chimpanzee, excuse me. What? And so it's a new, it's like a experimental biopic using an avatar of the subject instead of the actual person.
Got it.
And he's like doing concerts. He's playing all the big music festivals over in Europe as like a CGI monkey. Okay. Singing Robin Williams songs. And so I wonder if the song...
Oh, yeah. So the song still works.
That's a wild way to get in. That's a wild way to get into. Is the Robbie Williams, I'm Loving Big Ange Instead, still in effect for Tottenham?
I think yes. Because at this point, Conte and Mourinho would have been, like, they would have lost their minds and been fired. Yeah, because like there's one win in eight, one win in nine at this point. They also, Spurs.
But Conte and Mourinho wouldn't have lost 2-0 leads at home versus Chelsea. But yes, I'm with you. Yes,
no, I think for sure. I think the Postecoglou situation is like teetering.
Yeah,
because I think he's starting to say things that are like a little alarming, and I think he's realizing for the first time that this isn't like you can say it's a project.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the project has to work during the project, not, like, because being 11th in the league is not really good enough. But the Cups are what keeping – and let me just – this is the final point about
it. They have Europa League and FA Cup.
And the
EFL Cup. The Care Barrow?
They're still alive. They have four competitions going right now, which is you know, pretty good.
It's not bad. As long as one of them's not Conference League, like we said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in English Premier League, you're hired to get fired. So when Ange does eventually depart, you know, I was thinking this the other day.
There's a podcast that I really like. It's called A View from the Lane. And I was listening to it, and I thought to myself, well, you know, if Ange did get sacked, who would be a good replacement, right? And I was just like thinking for a minute, and I realized, man, it would be Dean Smith.
I know.
It would be Dean Smith.
Right, exactly. Way to bring it full circle. Yeah, because, yeah.
And I thought about that. I honestly did. I thought to myself, I would maybe have Dean as the...
I mean, we got a couple minutes left. What's the Dino project? Year two, like, imagine. Yeah. Think of everything we've been through in one year of Dean Smith transforming this club. Now all the stuff we have to talk about. I teased earlier that I tell this story every time we talk about this, and I'm going to say it again, is that I have a really good friend who lives in Germany who's, like, watched a ton of European soccer and was like, when we hired Dean Smith, this guy reached out to me. He's like, hey, dude, like, you guys are going to score massive amounts of goals, but you're going to leak massive amounts of goals. And the exact opposite happened. Dino came in year one, was pragmatic.
Yeah.
And he's known for being an offensive guy in his native homeland, you know, the English countryside.
Yes, yeah.
And he's a guy who's supposed to be about creating goals and not caring too much about the defense. Right. But he knew to win in this league. He came in and saw what the groceries he was dealt.
What he had to do.
And he cooked up a defensive, pragmatic game plan that I think I just said pragmatic four times now.
Yeah,
but that's what Dean does. Yeah. So he got us to another improvement on the 2023 season, further into the playoffs, should have advanced even further. Really unfortunate the way. I don't think I went in hard enough on this on our game recap episode for the Orlando-Charlotte match 3. But like the more I've thought about it, the more pissed I get with the way our season ended.
We'll save that for another time.
But Dino, year two, what will it bring? I loved. What do you think? What do the TIFOs think? And what do you think?
Yeah, John? I think that's the next episode.
Yeah,
I really do.
Okay,
I think that's a great.
This is a long
next
one.
Episode.
Yeah, it's been a long.
No. That's a great next episode. I think like next episode we should dive into Dean Smith.
Yeah,
because we're thinking about what we want to do.
I'll do some research
for the off season. Right, let's talk about where Dean is in the league.
Yeah,
how he compares to first year coaches ever in MLS history. Where he ranks. How because in my mind this is a guy like I'm being dead serious about him being a candidate on Spurs' list. Like,
right. That wasn't a joke. I know. Like, trust me. Especially if Ange lasts another 6 months, then it's gonna be like, oh shit, let's go fucking and Charlotte's in top four in MLS. It's like we're gonna go get Dean for our 2025-26 campaign. That's what Spurs might do.
That's what anybody might do.
Yeah,
you know, and I think it starts with knowing what Dean Smith is being compensated, and nobody knows that. Nobody knows what his contract actually states. And that's going to be something that we try to figure out here on the show.
Work this guy's wife.
And figure out what Tepper's doing. Because
actually, he's sleeping on Patrick Ogemong's couch. He makes no money.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. I'm John Hayes. He's Danny Brands. We'll talk to you soon.